just checked into an ADA compliant hotel room, and it was not what I expected. The shower chair was in the closet, the bed was too high, and the rolling shower had a 3-inch lip.
And that's when you know this trip just got complicated.
Today we're talking about accessible lodging, what ADA compliance really means, why it can be misleading, and how to choose a place that actually works for your needs.
And we're also talking about something that gets overlooked way too often, comfort and support for caregivers.
Welcome back to Living the Good Life. I'm Teresa.
And I'm your co-host, Robert. Let's get into it. We've all seen the blue and green sign from the highway. Holiday Inn Express is the king of the consistent stay. But if you're a traveler with a disability, is consistent always a good thing?
To some, it's a lifesaver. To others, it's a minefield of almost accessible features. Today, we're breaking down what it's really like to navigate mid-scale chain hotels, the psychology of why we pick them, and the red flag phrases that should make you run for the hills.
I used to think these hotels were so bland. It's like they copy-pasted the room across 2,000 locations. Everything is always in the same exact spot. Isn't that boring?
Well, to you, and formerly to me, it was bland. But then, it's a map I have already memorized. When I roll into a Holiday Inn Express, I don't have to solve the puzzle of the room. I already know the bathroom's here, the bed height's predictable, and I can reach the light switch from the bed.
So the lack of surprise is actually the luxury?
Exactly. In my world, and for many others with body disruptions, a surprise is usually a barrier. That boring layout reduces my cognitive load. I'll take predictable over pretty every day of the week.
Let's talk about the booking process. I called a hotel last week for a friend and asked about the roll-in shower, and the guy at the desk said, "It's pretty accessible." What does pretty accessible even mean?
In hotel speak, that means the door is wide, but good luck getting to the sink. It's a huge red flag if they use adjectives like pretty, mostly, should be fine, or I think so. It means they haven't had real accessibility, a real accessibility audit.
So if I hear it should be fine, I should probably keep looking?
I think I would run or ask them to specifically go look at the room. Sometimes even when we check in, they can't tell you. Or at least get a manager on the phone. You want to hear nouns and numbers. The bed's 22 inches high. The shower has a built-in bench. That's the language of a safe stay.
So I'm at the desk. I've got my bags, and they tell me it's $50 to check in 2 hours early or another $20 to store my luggage. Isn't that just standard business?
Well, we just ran into this recently. For me, or for others who have a chair with battery life, you have a waiting limit, and you can't always control when your flight arrives. You might need to access medical supplies. You can't just dig through those in a crowded lobby. Or what if you have to change something like a colostomy bag or take medications? When a hotel charges you to access a room that you need for your health, they're not just charging for time, they're charging for your disability.
That feels like a disability surcharge. How do you fight that?
Well, join the loyalty programs. Often basic status even gets you a guaranteed late checkout or a waived early fee. It also lets you put a permanent note in your profile like requires first floor. So the desk sees it before you even arrive.
You can't talk about Holiday Inn Express without the free breakfast. How does that hold up?
It's usually pretty good, but sometimes it could be a challenge. Some of the pancake machines and cereal dispensers are designed for standing adults. They're way too high for a seated guest.
What's the move there? Just skip the pancakes?
Never skip the pancakes. There's no problem with asking for help. You could ask for a reasonable modification. A staff member can get your cereal and bring a tray to a lower table. A good hotel knows that hospitality does not stop at the bedroom door.
What if they're sold out and the accessible room they gave me is actually a disaster?
This is where the ADA walk comes in. If a hotel cannot provide the disability-specific room you booked, it's their responsibility to find you a room at a nearby hotel that is accessible, pay for the ride there, and cover any price difference.
So, you aren't being a difficult guest by demanding what you booked?
No, not at all. You're asking for the room you paid for. Accessibility isn't a special feature. It's the foundation of the stay. And one tip is to, before you even check in, reconfirm your reservation. Be sure that they do have an accessible room for you. So now let's talk about a big myth. ADA compliance equals accessibility.
Spoiler, it doesn't. ADA compliance is the minimum a hotel has to do, not the comfort level you actually need.
Exactly.
But ADA doesn't guarantee the things that actually matter in real life.
Like a functioning shower chair. You don't need one that's wobbly.
Or a bed that isn't 30 inches high.
Or a shower without a lip that you have to step over.
Or enough space to turn a wheelchair.
Or a thermostat you can reach.
Or a room that isn't a mile from the elevator.
So when a hotel says ADA compliant, what they really mean is we check the boxes, not we made this comfortable or functional.
Let's talk about what's actually available, because accessibility isn't one size fits all.
Right. Different disabilities need different things. Let's break it down. For mobility, you want to ask about the actual shower setup, not just whether it's roll-in.
Because a roll-in shower with a 3-inch lip is not a roll-in.
And who would really say it's accessible? Also be sure that it has bars to hang on to, maybe a shower mat so you don't slip. You also want to know the bed height, the space around the bed, and whether the shower chair is attached or portable.
For sensory needs, quiet rooms matter. Away from elevators, ice machines, and HVAC.
And lighting. Dimmable lights, blackout curtains, and no flickering bulbs. For people with neurodiversity, predictable layouts are huge.
Yes, chains are great for this. We'll talk about that later. For chronic illness, refrigerators for medication, temperature control, and easy access to exits.
And seating in the hallways or the lobby. People often forget how important that is. As far as service animals, there should be relief areas, staff training, and no additional pet fees.
And space for the animal to rest comfortably. Okay, let's talk about the caregivers, because they're often invisible in these conversations.
Caregivers need comfort too. They need rest, privacy, and a layout that doesn't put them at risk.
A separate sleeping space, even a partial divider, can make a huge difference.
And bathrooms matter for caregivers too. They need space to assist safely.
Lower beds help caregivers avoid backstrain.
In rooms, closely elevator help everyone, especially caregivers carrying equipment or supplies.
Caregivers deserve dignity and support. Caregivers deserve dignity and comfort. They're part of the accessibility equation.
So why are chain hotels like the Holiday Inn Express lifesavers? Here's something people don't expect. Chain hotels can be a fantastic choice.
Predictability is accessibility.
Chains use standardized designs.
So once you learn one layout, you can navigate others easily.
The bed height's consistent.
Bathroom layout is consistent.
Furniture spacing is consistent.
And staff training tends to be better.
Predictability reduces stress for disabled travelers and caregivers.
Let's talk about red flags.
So one story we heard is that Ray Charles really enjoyed staying at the Holiday Inn. And this was a long time ago. I don't think Holiday Inn Expresses even existed. And Holiday Inn was one of the first hotel chains that focused on identical layouts and rooms so that people knew exactly what to expect when they booked a room there. For somebody, especially like me, with visual impairment, and I guess Ray Charles felt the same too. Once you're in that room, you know where the bathroom is, where the bed is, where the light switch is, and everything about the room. So you feel instantly comfortable there. You're not stressing about how to navigate or if you find something or hurt yourself. So that is a real bonus.
So let's talk about hidden problems no one warns you about, the red flags.
Like rolling showers with surprise lips.
Shower chairs that wobble.
Beds that are too high for transfers.
Accessible rooms at the end of long hallways.
Thermostats that are placed too high.
And my personal favorite, the peephole at 6 feet. And even though I stand 5'8", that can sometimes be a stretch.
So how do you book lodging that actually works for you? First of all, think about where you've stayed in the past and listen to people like us who have stayed at such lodging. I don't know if you remember from a previous podcast, we said for cruisers with disabilities, once they find a cruise line that does a great job with them, they return to that cruise line. And I recommend the same for hotels. Like in my case, I prefer a room, especially if I'm there a long time, that has more than just a desk chair and a bed to sit on. Who wants to sit on a bed for 2 days? We also look, when we travel with our neurodiverse son, rooms that have separate bedrooms, each with their own bathroom. And that is not easy to find at all. But one thing that I really like, and when we researched a book, we stayed at several Holiday Inn Expresses. There is a place to stay where you can be comfortable. You don't just have to sit on a bed all day.
How to book a lodging that actually works?
So how do you find a lodging place that actually works? As I just said, if you found a place that checks all the boxes for you, just return there. You don't have to worry or ask. You know where everything is. You know that you're treated well and you can feel comfortable there. And here's a script you should use for calling a hotel.
Ask for photos of the exact room you'll be staying in.
Not a sample room and not a stock photo. I often look at images provided by the guests to get a truer idea.
Ask about the bed height, the shower setup, the space around the bed, and the distance from the elevator.
And I think one thing we haven't mentioned, I'm surprised to find accessible bathrooms that may have a bar near the toilet, but they do not have a comfort height toilet for people with hip, knee, or other bodily disruptions. It can be hard to squat down to what I call the kitty potty. So besides that, you can also ask housekeeping if they could use fragrance-free cleaning products.
You deserve accurate information, not surprises.
So today we talked about what ADA compliance really means.
Why it's often misleading.
What to look for in accessible lodging.
Why chain hotels can be a great choice.
And how to book a room that actually works.
And we talked about caregivers, because their comfort matters too.
On cruising, we always recommend arriving a day early. In Tampa, we found several Holiday Inns, and for us, we knew what to expect there. And after traveling all day, having delays, having a delayed ship coming into port, it was good to know that we could find someone that would have that extra space for us and the extra place to sit, which is, for me, now a requirement.
Next time,
we'll talk about our recent expedition cruise in Alaska with the boat company and how easy it is to navigate if you have any type of body disruptors. Earlier, we had provided a link to a workbook for you to download. We're happy to announce that we decided that the workbook was such a good idea that it's been redone and is very extensive. It's Living the Good Life, a 70-day workbook for people with body disruptions. And that is available at Amazon.com, and I'll add a link to the show notes. So follow Living the Good Life so that you never miss an episode.
And share this with someone who travels with a disability or supports someone who does.
See you next time. Thank you for joining us at Living the Good Life.
A quick but important note. The information shared in this podcast is for general educational and entertainment purposes only. We love sharing our insights, but please remember, this content does not constitute medical, health, or professional advice. Every body and every situation is unique. You should always consult with a qualified medical specialist or healthcare professional before starting any new program, making lifestyle changes, or acting on any information you hear today. Your health is your responsibility, so let's keep it safe.